Hello, this is Radio Gorgeous and this is Victoria Pearson. And my guest today is the lead singer of alternative metal band Soul Desire. It's Becky James. Becky, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Fantastic, it's a pleasure and I love what you're doing and the strength of when you get up there and your performance is great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. I love seeing you taking your space and going for it like that. It's great.
Yeah, it's what it's all about. You've just got to take the time as it is, as it's been given to you, and just go for it.
Is there anything you do before you go on stage to sort of get your mind in the right place?
I usually go off, sit in the van and do like a vocal warm-up. I've had bands before where I haven't found that was necessary, and I usually find that after about 5 or 6 gigs I'm really, really struggling with my voice, so I took some time to really think about my voice more health-wise and how I can really make sure that it's going to be consistent and I'm consistently going to be able to perform for every show. So usually my vocal warm-up is my kind of time to just sit and get in the zone and get ready to go out.
Now, some people say that they don't have, for example, dairy and things like that because it interferes with your voice. Do you do anything special like that? Do you have a special diet or do they teas that you drink or anything like that?
Dairy is one of them. I don't eat dairy before I go on stage. I just feel it, for use of a better term, it kind of clogs up your throat and everything like that. Spicy food as well. I don't eat spicy food before I go on stage. And then I usually have a couple vocal zones and a cup of Manuka honey with some ginger and a little bit of lemon juice in there. That always helps.
All right, so it's the Manuka honey I need to go for if I want to have.
Yeah, the Manuka honey is the one. It's really, really good.
And do you dissolve that in the tea? Or
that's just in some hot water, a little bit of ginger puree, a little bit of black pepper and some lemon juice. And it's amazing for your voice.
Interesting. And I suppose it would be pretty amazing for the rest of you as well. It probably does the trick, you know.
The black pepper, like, uncongests you, makes, you know, able to breathe and intake breath a lot more. So yeah, it's good all around, really.
Okay, and then when you get up and perform and you've got a big crowd there, how do you get around psychologically the fact that you've got this big audience to perform to?
It's all vibes, really. The energy that's there in the room, they're all there to watch you, or maybe they're not there to watch you. So it's kind of getting into the psyche of either proving a point of the fact that they should be standing there watching us, or meeting that energy with the same amount of energy. It's all adrenaline, really. As soon as you're on there and you're ready to go, you know that you've practiced and got the set there and you're all happy with that. It's just putting that across to people then.
Okay, that's a good tip, because if you've got a big crowd, you think of them as an energy force that's going to connect with you, rather than, because the paranoid side of you could think, oh, that person's looking at me funny, they don't like
you.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone does that, don't they? You could be doing really well, but you pick out that one bloke who's got a face like a wet weekend kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Which,
that kind of thing, you've just got to kind of block out. Inevitably, you're not going to be everyone's taste. You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
But the people that are enjoying you, they're the people that you should focus in on and get that positive energy back.
Yeah. And now, how did your singing career begin?
I started singing roughly about 6 years of age. I did musical theatre. I was part of a group called Stagecoach. I went to that every weekend. So I did the musical aspect very much first, played the Artful Dodger and good old Oliver, that malarkey.
Yeah.
I then got interested in Motown and soul music through my dad, and that was up till about 12-13. So I was singing Aretha Franklin, Nina Simone, Etta James, you know, powerhouses like that. And then my mum is the rocker of my parenting relationship, and she introduced me to all the 70s, 80s rock bands, and then into the 90s rock bands as I grew up, really. So everything's just kind of influenced one another, really. Started in a cover band when I was about 14 years old, and that was like classic rock covers. Met the lads from Soul Desire. We were in a band previously called One Last Run. That's with Rob and Chris. That had it to part ways, but then we came back the following year to create Soul Desire.
Now, what's the story of Soul Desire so far? How was the band formed? And you've mentioned it came from another band.
Yes, so myself, Rob and Chris were in a band with two other gentlemen called One Last Run. So we were together for just under 3 years, did some amazing shows, some really good tours, supported some fantastic bands and headline shows ourselves. That kind of had its differences. Some people were at different places in their life and not really knowing if they could really focus on music 100% at that time. So we decided to part ways and have a bit of a break, a bit of a rest and a rethink. And then we got together as Soul Desire. That's myself, Rob and Chris.
What are your major music influences and who are your favourite men and women in rock?
In the rock scene. So very, very much influenced by the likes of Alter Bridge, just for melodies. I think Miles Kennedy is a fantastic vocalist. Brett Smith, Shinedown, a very, very good vocalist. Women, more Joan Jett, Susie Quattro, kind of grit and the attitude, the stage presence definitely comes from those kinds of influences. Lyrically wise, I've always admired M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold. I think lyrically, what he writes is amazing. Vocally, very good as well, or emphasis on the lyric side of things, as well as Ollie Sykes and the rest of the team for Bring Me the Horizon. They always seem to have very relatable lyrics.
That's interesting because you're throwing out some different names that I haven't heard about, so that's good. I can go and research.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, it's called alternative metal. What is that?
I think it's more of a hybrid genre. So it's a genre that's been influenced by, you know, a lot of different things. Yeah, it's like a fusion. I imagine it stems from heavy metal. The majority of rock stuff does. But it's got its own little influences due to probably major bands that have gone through it and kind of been the catalyst for it.
Now, what is the track Ignite about?
Ignite is very much an uplifting song. It's basically about understanding that everyone does have personal struggles within their life. And it's about overcoming that personal struggle and thinking about it in a different way, in a different manner, to try and understand that, you know, everyone has been in a predicament where they're unhappy. And I truly believe talking about it and accepting it and coming to terms with it is the way to overcome it and understand that anything is possible, and it just takes hard work and perseverance to try and get through something.
It's having that mindset, the positive mindset, just keep going when it's difficult.
Yeah, 100%.
The people that I see that really succeed are all the people that didn't give up no matter what was happening, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's, say, you know, at times it can be extremely hard to try and get in that mindset or to try and, like, relight that mindset, but it, you know, eventually, you know, people need time to be sad, I think. A lot of people nowadays have this kind of bad psyche about being sad and being upset and showing emotion. Being emotional is a very important thing, and I don't think enough people are proud to say that they're emotional, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes feel like I tune into people's energy, and sometimes it's not a good thing to be tuning into that energy, but I can't help it.
No, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that kind of has the personality trait of trying to help everyone, or trying to help a circumstance or a situation as much as you can, which can also lead to, you know, an emotional struggle and an emotional stress on yourself, because some things another person can't fix. It does literally just take the individual to kind of get back into positive mindset, which may take, you know, a good while. They will get there in the end. There is always light at the end of the tunnel.
And I think some people are just more naturally sensitive, and I'm one of them. And I just sort of can feel vibrations coming off of people, either that's really good or that's not really good. Quite exhausting sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I relate to that very much. Kind of person that can tell a room apart as soon as I walk into it, what kind of mood everybody's in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that gives you the ability to respect those individuals, and if you know that they're not in a place where they want to be, you know, not interrupted, but have other people's presences around them, just to leave them be and let them just have their own space, you've got the ability to understand that. You're not going to go into a situation and make someone feel worse.
That's a good thing. Now, what is the track Rapture about?
Rapture is very close to my heart. It's about a family friend and close relative who struggled with addiction the majority of her life. It's more about the psychological aspect of an addiction and why people kind of get into that trance and circle of self-destruction, really. There's always something that is the root cause of that matter. And again, it's just about maybe the other side of the table, the other side of things, where it's my viewpoint of saying, you know, there are people here to help you, but you need to take that help on. You need to accept that help, because it's not just going to inject itself into your life. It's going to be something that you have to accept for it to truly, truly work.
And I think also, if somebody's addicted to something, any excuse will do. You know, it's Monday, yes. It's raining, I didn't get the job. You know, yes. It doesn't matter what it is. Oh, I'm in a good mood, so I'll have some of that. You know,
yeah.
It can be any excuse at all, and that's addiction. That's the nature of it, isn't it? The nature of the beast.
Yeah, it's just, it can be the trivialest of things, and it can be horrendous. But it's just about different mindset and a different viewpoint on something that, you know, a lot of people do struggle with. Some way or another, it might not even be some of the most like obvious addictions. It could be something that's very behind closed doors and whatnot. But yeah, no, it's just about a different viewpoint on that matter and trying to help, really.
And once that pattern of addiction set up in somebody's brain, can it ever be reversed, or do they have to keep having this Herculean task of trying to resist it all their lives?
I believe. Psychologically, if again, it depends on the individual, I think, but I think if they were to get to the root cause as to why they feel it's necessary to be in that circumstance or to conflict that pain upon themselves, I imagine it could be easier to kind of understand the foundation of the issue, and then obviously try and self-heal from the beginning, rather than looking at what the outcome is, which is obviously this addiction. If you look at it from the beginning and how it started in the first place, you've got more of a chance of understanding it thoroughly and therefore being able to tackle the challenge.
Make
Now, From the Flames is a great track. What inspired it?
Again, that is different people's perception of themselves. The track starts with three questions. Are you lost for all sense of direction? Do you obsess over imperfections? It's pretty much facing and looking at yourself, really. I've been in situations where I've hated the way I look, and I'm only just at 23 years of age coming to terms with the fact that, you know, I am who I am and I look the way I look. And if I want to improve that through health and fitness, then that is my journey and my decision to make. But I used to be horrifically paranoid about what people thought of me, which a few people are shocked at, or quite a few people are shocked at the fact that I stand on stage on what is basically a platform most nights. But I think that is completely to do with being in your own head and making a situation out of something that is more than likely not there. But I think it's just about, again, different people's personal struggles. A lot of fans have interpreted it in a lot of different ways. I've had a lot of gay people coming up to me and questioning whether it's about the whole struggle of understanding sexual orientation and the whole coming out situation and not knowing when to do it or how to do it or how to come about doing it or anything like that. So I'm glad that the lyrics are vague enough for someone to take their own personal struggle and put it towards the lyrics and kind of make them work to their situation.
And when you turned yourself around and got rid of the paranoia, and how did you do it? Was it really about health and fitness? And then
really it was, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm still on that journey. There are days where, you know, sometimes I don't want to leave the house. I think it is just a very much a journey with baby steps. Don't weigh myself anymore at all. I go off how I feel, which, yeah, some people may think that's a pretty stupid idea, but I think I know how I feel in myself. I know if I have gained a few pounds, I know if I don't necessarily like a certain bit, and then it's just changing the mindset to try and tackle that issue rather than getting in this whole circle of, well, not really fixing anything but still feeling miserable. It's about looking at it again from a different viewpoint, back to the basics, and just working hard, perseverance.
And that's a cycle as well, isn't it? The sort of the eating, then self-dislike, and then eating again. Yeah. And, you know, think, oh, we shouldn't have that big block of cheese or whatever.
Yeah.
About myself here.
Basically eating your emotion. And I used to do that all the time. All the time. Mm. It's all sweet stuff, donuts, horrendous.
It sounds nice though, doesn't it?
I know. I could really do with a donut now.
Well, no, you mean, but is it really we need the donut, or do we really need something else in your life to make you feel happier? Don't really need the donut. That donut is replacing what you don't have, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do that. Now, have you ever had any audience opposition as a female singer? And if so, how did you deal with it?
I am extremely lucky and very grateful that I've never had any form of prejudice or sexism towards myself. That's from audience members to bands to promoters to managers. No one, I feel, has treated me any differently due to me being a girly, which I think is incredible, and I'm very happy about that. I have female friends on the scene who may have had a harder time. I do think it depends what kind of genre you are singing and performing in. The majority of females who have had issues have been more of a heavier genre, more screaming vocals rather than clean melodic vocals. And I just think it depends on someone's perception, but I think the heavier the metal, the more people are to kind of subliminally believe that women aren't meant to be a part of that. I can't genuinely say I've ever had any problems with that. So, yeah, but I don't know. There's always time. There's always opportunity. So the next time we speak, I may have a story. Who knows?
But that's great, though, if you haven't experienced that. It may be even that the way that you approach things with that confidence, even if it is more of an outward confidence, that they're thinking, right, she knows what she's doing, boss, you know?
Yeah, probably. I mean, without sounding big-headed, I do like to tackle everything knowing exactly what is needed and exactly what I need to do, because I feel it's more productive and you're going to get a better outcome by doing that and by planning and making sure that everything that is needed you've got to a T and you've sorted out. When I go on stage and I'm singing and whatnot, I've never had anyone, I've had a few comments of, you know, it's not really my cup of tea, but that's never because, they've never stated that it's because I'm a female. That just might necessarily be that Soul Desire as a band and as a sound isn't their cup of tea, which I'm fine with, because like I said before, you're not going to please everybody. Stressing yourself out, trying to believe that you can please everybody, you're like, that's not going to be productive at all. So it's focusing on the people who are interested in your band and are interested in what you're doing, focusing on them and bringing positivity through.
What are your favourite songs to play live?
I really, really like Dark Light because of the contrast between quite gritty and very dark versus in comparison to the quite high and powerful chorus that always has a very good response when we play that live. Ignite is also a very good fun one to play just because of the groove of it. It's very good to perform to. And then we also do cover on stage as well, which is a more rocked up version, a very brought down and acoustic version that we did of Killswitch Engage's End of Heartache. So we do rock version, which is still clean melodic vocal. That's always good to play as well, because if anyone is coming and hasn't seen us or doesn't know who we are, the likelihood is they're going to know that song, so that gives them a bit of a chance to rock out with us and enjoy a song together.
Finally, do you have lined up for this year for Soul Desire? What comes next?
Gigs, and more gigs. We're trying to get out as much as we possibly can. We have a couple tours or a couple of weekenders that we're in the process of booking right now. We have a music video that's due to be released very, very soon. That's going to be for From the Flames. Hopefully filming another music video later on in the year. So very busy, keeping the ball rolling. We have a couple new members that we're currently trialling, so we're going to start writing new material for hopefully a new EP or a new album. We haven't quite decided what length of product we're going to create. Yeah, busy.
Fantastic. Any festivals coming up?
We have done the application process, so it's just finding out if we've got the slot, if we've got the gig. Basically, we started gigging quite late this year, so as of applications for festivals, the majority of festivals have already got their lineups very much solidified by the time that we were ready and we realized we were happy with what we had practiced and crafted. So definitely next year we'll be applying for them all and hopefully getting in there. Plus we'll have our reputation around as Soul Desire by that time as well, because of the gigs that we will have accumulated this year. So but we'll see. We'll see what comes of it and what we can announce.
Brilliant. And Becky, it's been brilliant to talk to you today, and I think this might be one of the best interviews I've done so far.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And for more gorgeous interviews, go to radiogorgeous.com.